It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Yes. This week, kind of an interesting subject. I'll preface by saying my wife and I took dance lessons before COVID.
I was going to ask you
about doing
that.
Some ballroom dancing and having fun with it. We never got to the tango, though, and there's that term. Yeah. It takes two to tango.
Two to tango.
And you wanted to
talk. Two to tangle.
Two to tangle, as it might be the case in counseling and marriage counseling. And this kind of subject comes up with you a lot. You're still doing lots of marriage counseling, lots of Skype counseling. And you wanted to talk about how both people need to be a part of it, need to own their stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot here. Obviously, when people come for counseling and resolve problems, they typically have some kind of an idea. Not always, but typically they have some kind of an idea of what the problem is and who's at fault. And they're, in fact, I've even had situations. It's not uncommon for myself or probably any counselor out there to have someone who whose spouse has sent him or her to counseling
has
to get
sent
fixed.
Them. Okay.
And then tries to manage it from home.
And that's usually the husband who's been sent.
Quite often. I think if the wife has been sent, which I've had that happen to, where it frames it more along the lines of my husband's not interested in counseling, but I'd like counseling. Whereas if it's the husband that's been, because I don't think typically husbands wouldn't send the wife for counseling, but they would just be okay with the problem, and then the wife would
go. I need to go get some help for me.
Yeah, I need to go get some help for me or some help for us.
Right.
But sometimes I find that the wives will assign the husband. You know, go get yourself figured out there. But the thing is, you can't just fix one side of the tire. Marriage is a system. And I know I will. You'll hear me say later on in the show that every dysfunction in relationship is in this issue of codependency. One behavior drives the other. And it's the question that is kind of like in the air when people come for counseling. One of the questions might be, "How did we get here?" You know, we tend to look back on the early times in our marriage. Even if it were just for a brief moment of time, we certainly had enough affection for one another and enough common interests and agreement that we agreed to get married. And so how do we get here down the road to where, as I did in a previous show, how about liking and loving, get to the point where we don't really even like one another? If I think a lot of couples, if not most or all couples possibly, if at some point in their relationship, if they had the courage to step away and ask, do I really like this other person? Sometimes the answer would be no, even in healthy, healthy relationships.
And they how can that be a healthy relationship if you say that?
Well, I think part of it is because we use words without thinking about what they might mean. For example, the word love. Say a couple is struggling over, she's saying, you don't love me. Well, yes, I do. Well, you don't show it. Well, how could I show it? Well, you would know if you loved me. Do you love me? Well, the guy is going, what do we mean by love? And so he's going, okay, I think it means, okay, I respect you, I honor you, I cherish you, I want to protect you, I'll cover you, but do you love me?
Mm.
What do you mean by love? Well, you would know if you love. So we take a word like that, like and love, and we never unpack it. So when it comes around to, do I actually like the person or do I actually love the person? For men especially, because our brains are wired a little differently, the hemispheres are more pronounced. You know, we have this word love, and I have to break it down and say, well, you know, love is pretty nebulous. What do I feel about this person? If when it comes right down to it, so I talk about things like commitment and I cherish, I'm committed to you. I want to cover you. I want to protect you. I want to provide for you. You're special to me, et cetera, et cetera. If that's love, then that's what I do, you know. Mm-hmm. But if when you ask, if you're asking about some feeling or something, it's hard for us to have without reading one another's minds and emotions, stepping in the other person's
shoes. And you think that's harder for men to do that than it is for women?
Well, I know it's harder for men to connect the words with the experience.
Although,
because
you know,
of the hemispheres.
In the, I'm thinking of the musical Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
It was Tevye who was asking his wife that. He said, but do you love me? And she says, well, I cook your thing and I clean the house and I do all these chores. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but do you love me?
Yeah.
So it was him.
It was him, and it goes both ways, doesn't it? You know, I mean, in fact, there's that spin that says, you know, well, men are commanded to love, and women are commanded to honor and you know, respect. Mm-hmm. But if you asked men, well, you're commanded to love, what's that going to look like? They will wind up using words like honor, respect, share. And if you act, if you ask most women, commanded to respect, what does that look like? It will look very much like what the man says when he says love, you know. And so I think it's like splitting hairs and making, you know, all these analogies, mountains out of molehills. How did we get here? There's like maybe an inclination to blame self or blame the other person often in these things, but so a number of factors converge, and of course we've talked about these in shows. I'll try to go through them somewhat briefly, but obviously we begin with the family of origin.
The foo.
Family of origin. So he has a familial background. She has a familial background. The background, the interaction with parents or lack thereof, the interaction with siblings, the family histories, the things that happened in the family. You know, if people grew up in the Depression, they were very different kinds of people than people that grew up in more prosperous times. Mm. So the family of origin lays the footings and the stem walls. And we've talked before about how my parents modeled a kind of emotional and psychological distance, a relational distance that was very natural to them based on the way that they grew up. So they modeled a distance. My wife's parents modeled a distance for her. When we came together and I proposed and she accepted, we intuitively agreed to a distance. So this family of origin issues affected a distance that was felt normal to us. And then that turned out to dictate the relational process. I need a certain kind of distance. She needs a certain kind of distance. And the process is a way of managing this distance. Or we could put it another way. We could say from the family of origins blossomed these two personalities that are fundamentally defense mechanisms. And they're like vectors. You can look at personalities and lifestyles as vectors where, you know, who I was and who I am can determine, give a pretty good idea of who I'm going to be. So here's a personality. I'm going through life. My personality is once of basically I'm interested in safety and security and defending myself. And that's fundamental to human beings. And here I meet this person who is on the same track. Our personalities are like vectors. There's a pathway that makes sense to me and if I'm going to protect myself and remain safe. And that people see that as my personality. My wife is another story. Our vectors cross at some point. We meet. But then what do we do from that point on? You know, does the trajectory continue then to separate and diverge again? Or do we have mechanisms that we have to put in place to kind of manage the distance and hold us together? And so that really explains the dynamic of the marriage relationship. They are like personalities or can be seen like vectors where we need one another, but we also need our separateness. We need our autonomy, and yet we need our inclusion. And so how do we manage those kinds of
See two kinds of marriages a lot of times. Ones where you'd say, you know, like they each wear matching sweaters and, you know, very enmeshed and don't do anything alone. Mm-hmm. And then you see other kinds of marriages that also seem to work where they're very individuated. Mm-hmm. They have no problem having their own friends, even taking their own vacations. Are both that doesn't seem healthy to me, but it seems to work for them. You know, is this something you just work out over the years?
Well, so some people, it depends on where you, what's your objective and what's your what is your destination. And so obviously most Christians have a destination, of vague as it might seem in some cases, but they have a destination of being Christ-like. And so it's use the analogy of sailing or flying, where both in sailing and flying, you have a destination, but you're also, there's a variable because you're constantly in a moving medium. The water is moving or the air is moving, and you're trying to go from point A to point B, but you're, but your environment is moving. So you have to continually check for true course, for, you know. And so we come out of our family of origins with these, with a nature. I have a nature. I have a personality. I have a character. My wife does too. We have a number of choices. We can either remain, as I've suggested, on these trajectories, and our lives will become increasingly possibly distant. And if we never stop to, if that never challenges us, if we never stop and take inventory and say, you know, we seem to be going in these, having these different lifestyles, it might work for us comfortably, but are we are we on some sort of a course towards God's plan for our marriage? But if we never consider that, we're going to go the way of least resistance, whatever's comfortable. If that eventually leads to divorce, it does a lot of times, more than half of the time. But yeah, some people manage to just stay together. I know of a Christian couple, I won't mention their name, but they were internationally known and had a huge TV industry, and they lived in separate houses. But on television, they looked like, the perfect right. couple, but they lived separately. So some people some people, that's okay. Other people need a less distance. They're not loners. They need the companionship. I've even seen couples who had severe paranoid personality disorders linked together. They didn't necessarily trust anyone at all, except they put up with one another. And very, very enmeshed. Neither one of them had their own idea. It was, and in a very, very dysfunctional way, yeah, it worked for them. But the question we should ask is, well, where are we going? You know, where's this path actually taking us?
Yeah. Well, marriage, it takes two to tango, the subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. Daniel does a lot of marital counseling. If you're going through an issue or two, maybe you know somebody who needs help with marital counseling. Daniel, you're doing in-person counseling still, but also remotely with Skype or FaceTime or whatever. How do people get in touch with you?
Right. The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I also do Skype, yes, as you may. I have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. Where you'll find about 7 years of radio podcasts as well.
Okay, great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. We'll return with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. 778-6169. Or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast this week looking at the subject of It Takes Two to Tango in relationships, marital relationships in particular. And that question always comes up, Daniel. Why does he act like that? Or why does she do those things?
Yeah, I've had so many cases where someone will be either sent for counseling, you know, assignment, go get fixed, or they'll come together and they'll have these conversations kind of a lot of times with me and with the other person in the room as though the person is like the third person. Why does he, why does she do that? Or maybe I'm just meeting with one, and so it's, why does my husband, why does my wife do that?
Or and when he comes home from the counseling with you, she's asking, so, did you talk to him about this? What do you mean you talked to him about that?
Yeah.
That's not the problem. The problem is this. Next time, you be sure and talk to him about
Yeah, something like that. the thing is that there's no great mystery to this, and I think that people, the tendency is to overcomplicate it. And as though, for example, diving deep into the person's family of origin is going, we're going to find a light switch, kind of like a video game. You're going to go back through some tunnels and doorways and things and find a switch and change the combination of things. And it just doesn't work that way. If it is something in the family of origin, you know, it's just deep-seated, and you're not going to flip a switch and change that. Our time is better spent, instead of going back and spending days, weeks, months, sometimes in some people's lives, years with hypnotherapy or whatever, trying to discover the thing that the switch I can flip and then come out of the session as a different person.
Yeah, you're not a big believer in that. That's really the solving.
No, we live in the present, and the behaviors. I have a personality. And that isn't going to change very much. It's like, you know, going out here into the parking lot and finding one of these trees that's several hundred years old and then trying to put a cable on it and get it to grow a different direction. It's just not going to happen. Changes would have had to have been made early in life. Now, when you're married, you've married that person. You can't uproot the person and transplant them into some other reality and have a different person. That is the person.
But it's okay to understand the family of origin. You do some of that kind of work so you can understand kind of where you've been.
Yeah, it gives us some markers. It can be helpful. speaking from experience, when I did my own, which is why I find value in the family of origin, what we call genogram, a map of the family of origin, is to understand the ways that my parents distanced themselves and their parents, so that when I'm behaving in a certain way, there's a marker or a flag goes up and says, oh, that's like dad. But knowing that it's like what my dad did doesn't eradicate the behavior from my nature, or that is just a discipline thing. That reminds me that I need to be disciplined, but it doesn't change. It's not a switch that gets flipped. So there's some benefit into going into the family of origin and finding distancing behaviors. People then can recognize, oh, this is how I distance. But that doesn't stop you from distancing. You then also have to talk about how am I going to change my behavior and my thinking so that I don't do that anymore. And so that's where the work actually comes in. So why then? Yeah, so why? Let's answer the question. Why? You say it's relatively simple. Well, here's why. We're mortal. We're frail. We know that. And we our human way of looking at life, it's very simple. I have to survive. I need to be safe. I need to be secure. Now, as Christians, we have another lens that we look through, but it's almost theoretical. I mean, it's what we should do. I should look through this lens that says Christ is my security, Christ is my safety, Christ is my provision, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not really where I live. I aspire to understanding that and holding that position, but that's not where I live. All you have to do is go out into traffic and have somebody honk at you, and you realize that that I don't live in that Christian perspective. I actually live here.
Right.
I would like to live in that other place. And it's because we're mortal. That's the one thing that we can't circumvent is death. Now, we don't go around thinking of death, and I've talked about this before. We don't go around thinking of death, but we almost constantly go around thinking about, do I have value? Do I have control? Do I have resources? We've talked about those things, value, control, and resources, or I say value, control, and power, same thing to me, value, control, and resources, value, control, and resources. We're mortal, we're frail, we're insecure, and the go-to to alleviate those feelings and concerns is we all want to be valued, we all want to have control over situations that have an impact on us, and we all want to have unlimited resources. Well, we can't have all of those things. No one is as valuable as they wish they were. No one has the control they wish they had. No one has the resources they think they need. And so this is where the rubber meets the road. This is why we behave the way we behave, because we struggle with that. And it's on both sides. It's the husband that's coming for counseling, and it's the wife that's sending him. It's the wife that's coming for counseling, and it's the husband that doesn't think there's a problem. We're all behaving in response to the very same dynamic. We're mortal, we're frail, we're insecure, and so we have this fear. And I throw in shame, too. The fear has to do with lack of value, control, and power. The shame has to do with lack of
Problem is like the teeter-totter.
Yeah, it is like the teeter-totter. Every dysfunction involves a codependency. So I can look at my wife's behavior and say, see, now there's the problem. But it's a teeter-totter. If she changes the behavior, it has an immediate impact on my behaviors. And so often I see people who say something along the lines of, well, the problem with our marriage, I'll just give an example. The problem of our marriage is that he likes to eat peanuts, and he eats them very loudly. And if he could just stop doing that, are you saying if he stopped eating peanuts loudly, then you would have the perfect marriage? Okay, Fred, stop eating peanuts loudly. Okay, yes, sir. And so he does that, but then they come back in and now it's another problem. So it isn't really the peanuts, it's something deeper. Well, what is it? It's both people are pursuing value, control, and power. And we pick on things in the other person's life. We point out, this is the reason I'm uncomfortable. The real reason I'm uncomfortable has to do with the fact that I'm mortal, frail, and insecure. Total reliance on Christ would answer these things, and that's the working out of our salvation. But it's not the place that we live. So that's why I say it's like a teeter-totter. One person's behavior typically drives the other person. For example, one talks too much and the other is silent. And why do you talk too much? Well, because if I don't say something, he or she won't say anything. And then you ask the other person, why don't you talk? Well, because the other person's talking so much. So in a way, what their behaviors are doing, although they're complaining about the behaviors, their behaviors are supporting the system that they have colluded to have in order to make this relationship work. Mm-hmm. So if something changes, it's going to be a change for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to step back from the trees. This is what I want to tell people. You need to step back, and this is not something you do once. It's something you do daily. Often, we need to step back away from the trees and reassess our progress in the light of our objective. A lot of times I give people assignments, try this. This is our objective. We're working toward this. This is the foothold. This is the first step. Come back a week later. well, how did it go? What do you mean? Well, did you do this? Oh, totally forgot. Okay, we need to be in mind of like, what is our progress? Have we gained something in terms of what our objective is? Not in terms of what's comfortable for me, but what is our true north? What is our fundamental objective? What is our objective? And that's fundamental to knowing if we're on course. So some may need to revisit this, as I say, almost daily to remind us that, you know, in fact, our rights are not what we're here to establish. We're really here to establish God's purpose and God's glory. And I think that it's important for married couples to step back and refresh on that often. And then, yes, we do have to fix the process. But as I've often said, the process follows the purpose. So that it's fundamental, I think, to revisit that purpose again and again.
Mm-hmm. Takes two to tango, but you can learn how to dance better. Maybe it takes some counseling, maybe some dance lessons, emotional dance lessons with Daniel Pryor. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel, for counseling?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Yes, I am doing Skype and FaceTime counseling, as well as counseling in the offices at Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.